Well, you may know that Canada is celebrating 150 years of their history in 2017. And there are all sorts of ways they want us to really celebrate all year long. So if you haven't gotten one already, you can get a free National Parks Pass for all the national parks all across Canada. And I even called and checked. You don't even have to live in Canada to get one. It's great. So they're doing all kinds of things. And another promotion that I saw this week was a video that's really well done. And it's an advertisement that even won, I think, the President's Choice Award to encourage Canadians to eat more together. Actually, not to eat more, but to eat together more, okay? And it's wonderful. It's about a woman who just longs for community. She longs for conversation. She longs for engagement. And no one is giving that to her in her life, not even her own roommate. The ad introduces itself by saying, "When we eat together, good things happen. We share a bit of our lives. We talk, we laugh, and we share the foods we love. We get a little closer. Hashtag eat together." This sounds like good hospitality to me. It sounds like everything that Jesus is encouraging us to do all throughout the Bible. Jesus was often found around a table, around food, and with others. He was also found with the most unlikely friends. Today we continue in our series, our sermon series called Friendship. And we're going to learn a little bit about what it means to be God's friends, but also what it means to focus on hospitality towards others as well in friendship. Hear this word from the Gospel of Luke. "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, 'If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?' And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Let's pray. Gracious God, you are a God of hospitality. There is none like you that invites all to come to you. Give us ears to hear and hearts to learn how we may too follow in your ways. Amen. Well, eating with others is actually a pretty common occurrence in the Bible, and especially in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Luke, which we're reading from today, there are more mealtime scenes in that Gospel than any other Gospels. My husband likes to say that Jesus eats his way through the gospel. Hashtag eat together started with Jesus, not with Canada, in case you didn't know. But if you noticed in the beginning of this scripture, it does say that Jesus enters into the house of a prominent Pharisee for a meal. And it's a prominent Pharisee, right? And there's other guests around and other Pharisees around. And it says that when Jesus entered into the room, that he was being carefully watched. As if, you know, you better behave, right? I don't know, when I was a teacher a long time ago, back in 1993 or something like that, it was my first job out of college, and I was a teacher in Dallas, Texas, and I had landed this job, and I was so excited, and this particular school was cutting edge, again, back in 1993, but still, cutting edge, and so I got to be a teacher there, my first job, and it was cutting edge in that everything was sort of kind of, you know, we didn't use textbooks. There were no rows of desks. There were no, you know, I don't know. Everything was just sort of oh so creative, right? So when we studied the jungle habitat, if you walked into my room, you were entering a jungle. Everywhere. You felt it. But one of the things about being a teacher in that particular setting is that if you were to get caught sitting at your teacher desk, that was a no-no. So if the principal were to ever walk through my classroom and I was actually taking a break or just breathing or even like trying to get a few papers graded or anything like that, then I would really get in trouble. I wasn't supposed to be sitting. Here in this scripture that we read today, it's like Jesus is the teacher, but the Pharisee is the principal. And he's almost waiting to catch the teacher doing something wrong. But Jesus turns the situation back on them in verse 7. And now Jesus is the one carefully observing them. And what he notices about all the guests is how they act and who they neglect. Now, there are three things I want to focus on as we discover that God's friends may be different than what we expected. Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. Hospitality, by Jesus' example, expects nothing in return. And hospitality discovers friends of God that we hadn't noticed before. Number one, hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. Well, it's actually no surprise to me that Canada is launching a campaign to encourage folks to eat together more. That should not surprise people. We should actually want to be engaged in each other's lives. We should want to be experiencing life together. The video that I mentioned, it shows a bunch of people that live in a condo. Very appropriate for Vancouver-style living. And there's this long hallway, and they're all always on their devices. They don't even know each other. They don't even see each other. And so the woman and her roommate brings dinner out into the hallway. And you actually can't get past them. You can't avoid them. You have to actually engage in them. And so people give in, and they bring out their tables from their own little apartments, and they gather around the whole hallway, and they bring foods of all sorts of different ethnicities, and they actually look at each other, meet each other, and start talking to one another. Jesus teaches us from the Bible that community and friendship is what life is all about. And it's not always with the people that you think. This past Christmas, 10th Church provided hospitality by welcoming the stranger and in giving hampers, Christmas hampers, to refugees and refugee families. And we had more volunteers than I actually could keep up with. And every one of those volunteers, when they went to deliver hampers to these families, they were meeting these families for the very first time. They had never met them before, but yet they stepped up to do this. There was a couple from 10th that wrote me back about their experience. And I was really grateful for that because you don't always hear how things go. And this couple is Edeline and Chris Lowe. They're actually members of our 10th community at Mount Pleasant, but I encouraged them to sneak over here this morning. So let me read an excerpt from the letter that she wrote. As this was our first year volunteering with this effort, we didn't know what to expect. We were late to the game, so everyone seemingly beat us to picking their families, and we saw that there were only two Middle Eastern families left. It was sort of an oh-no effect. Not because we didn't like them, but because we were least familiar with any sort of Middle Eastern culture or customs. Give us any Asian family, as we are Chinese, and that would have been easy. But God already had this one planned in advance, and there was no backing out. Admittedly, I have never befriended anyone from the Middle East, so my only frame of reference of a Middle Eastern Muslim family were the ones portrayed on Homeland on the HBO TV series. And our family wasn't on Homeland. They were in Vancouver. And they had a 4-year-old son, and they were from Kurdistan in Iraq. As most of Vancouver was under a deep freeze that particular weekend, the ice age, they invited us in for tea, and we accepted. And we were nervous. They were nervous. They didn't know exactly how to engage in their conversation, but she says, we actually didn't talk about the persecution and the tough times that they had endured. We didn't go there. But we ended up talking about our weddings and our honeymoons and some of the best times that we've had in our lives. God works in the funniest ways. Chris and I intended to stay for 15 minutes and continue on because it was a very busy weekend. Christmas was on the horizon. But we instead found ourselves parked on their sofas and we enjoyed their company for 2 hours. God didn't just tap us to a less fortunate family in need. He opened our eyes to see and experience new relationships and to spread God's light to others. In Luke's gospel, Jesus notices that guests are choosing places of honor at the table. What he recognizes is that the guests are making choices for themselves only, and not at all choices for others. Jesus says, toss out what you think you know and what you would normally do and see what happens. Edeline and Chris wrote me even again a few days later, and they said, guess what? They've invited us for dinner into their home. These are our very first Middle Eastern friends. Thank you, she says. Sometimes it takes something radical to get our attention, to do things differently than we normally would. Canada has given us an opportunity to welcome the stranger and refugees, but it also opens our eyes to what we're neglecting in other ways, to people that need us in other ways in our own communities, in our own neighborhood. We don't necessarily choose certain friends, right? Sometimes God is trying to help us choose them as well. We live in a world where we can click on Facebook or in social media who we want to be our friend, and we can also block them, right? Jesus is trying to tell us to open our doors and our lives, not to what we think, but what he brings to us. And sometimes those are with people who cannot repay us. Hospitality, by Jesus' example, expects nothing in return. Now, many of us don't have a problem showing hospitality to our friends and to our family and to our colleagues, and that's a good thing. I'm not encouraging you to stop doing that, to continue welcoming people into your home. But often when you do that, even with family, often there's sort of this kind of implied notion that next time it will be on them, right? I know when my mom hosts the big Christmas meal and everybody flies in and invades her house, she's all good about it, but then she's like, okay, who's on for next year? Somebody's got to repay. God, I believe, is inviting us to stretch our comfort zones, to have people into our homes that are not like us, that cannot repay us even. Think about who was in your home in 2016. Hopefully you had friends and family and maybe even colleagues, and that's a good thing. But who else? Did you have the poor? Did you have a stranger? Did you have the unacceptable? Did you have someone maybe who doesn't even believe in Christ? Or someone from another country or culture or religion? Look forward to 2017 and think about who you will invite into your home. I confess that on top of being a lousy cook, I also work, have three boys, a husband who has a full-time job. I sometimes struggle with keeping up with my own life, much less inviting others into my life, especially into my home. But my husband and I both realize that if we go through too many weekends where we have not had other people into our home or engaged in community with others, that something is deeply missing in our lives. And so in 2017, I encourage you, maybe if this is helpful, to do the same. We are going to try something different, because what happened is we would realize that a whole month would go by and we didn't invite. There were soccer games. We traveled. Grams came in to visit. You know, there was always an excuse. And a whole month could go by and we wouldn't invite. So I'm going to try in 2017 on my calendar each month to write the name of someone that comes to mind that I would like to invite into my home. And that may be a friend. That may be somebody. It may be somebody that I owe. And that's okay. And combine some friends with other friends. But I also want to make sure that on that same month, in that same calendar, that I'm inviting somebody that may be different, that I may not normally engage in. So this past week, I met someone from India. She was a lovely woman, and her husband is a cab driver in the city. And we had a great conversation, but by the time it was over, I realized that I would not ever potentially see her again. And so we got out our devices, and we exchanged information. And so on the month of February, I would like to invite her to my home. And I don't even really know her. She's a stranger. But I'm going to take a chance and revive our meeting together by having her into my home. Sometimes it's easy to invite some people into the home. We had a lovely conversation, and it was easy for me to do that. But it might not always be convenient or pleasant or necessary. But it is healing. I was visiting with a pastor from South Africa a while back, and we were talking about how to engage in hospitality with others, how to extend hospitality, and you know how sometimes it's kind of easier not to, or to kind of like be content in your own lives and in your own homes. And he said, well, one thing that I remember, or I try to remember, is the day that I received Jesus into my heart, and the day that I became a Christian, because on that day, when I accepted Jesus into my heart, I also accepted all of his friends with him. That includes a whole lot of people that we may have been neglecting. The word hospitality literally means love of a stranger. We're not encouraged just to invite them to dinner, but invite them into our lives. Henry Nouwen writes that hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Something holy happens around a dinner table when you break bread together. Canada does have it right when they say good things happen when we eat together. In Luke's gospel story, Jesus notices the guests and he notices their actions. They're all focused on where they want to sit, choosing seats of honor. But he encourages us not to focus on that, to learn to be content with those who cannot pay us back. I read an article this past week from the Calgary Herald. It was about a homeless man named Paul, and he died of a drug overdose. And he had a church home, though, and he had a family in that church home. And he had been brought into people's homes and lives, and they were changed for it. And there's Paul. He liked to keep his hands smothered with dirt and grime because he said that it actually helped him stay warm, or that's what he believed. And so he was, you know, an interesting character. But he got invited to weddings, and every time he came to somebody's wedding, he never came empty-handed. He always went and bought a card, and then he would go into the streets, and he would have about 100 people sign that card. And that would be his gift that he would bring to the wedding. They called them street cards. Any couple who got a street card, they were blessed. When Paul died, his pastor wrote, "He looked us in the eye," Paul did, "and he saw us. And in turn, he allowed us to see him. He allowed us to see homeless people as people, not nameless, faceless problems. He evoked strong feelings in all of us." It's true. Sometimes you wanted to cuss him. Sometimes kiss him. Regardless, his presence reminded us of worlds we often wish to ignore. The church, the pastor says, is poor now without this man, Paul, in it. Scripture says when you invite, don't invite those who can repay you. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Lastly, hospitality discovers friends of God that we may have not noticed before. Well, I have a friend in our neighborhood who happens to be a master at hospitality. She's always inviting people into her homes. And guess who that friend is? Lee Stockberger, who spoke to you earlier in this service. She's amazing at it. And I, you know, it's just a joy to watch her. But there's always somebody coming over for dinner, and sometimes that's us. And so one time, a while back, she said, "I'm just going to have a dinner party in the neighborhood, and I'm going to invite everyone. You want in, Jaylen?" And I'm like, "Okay." And so we planned it, and we passed out the flyers or whatever, and we had no idea if anyone would come. And a few did come, and some couldn't, and they regretted, you know, they sent the regrets, but a few came. And I met people in the house that night that lived on my own block that I had never met before. I learned about them. There's this one woman with a daughter whose husband died a few years ago, so it's just them two. And she's a lovely daughter, and her mother has a strong disability. She cannot move very well. It's very, very hard for her to walk. She has a disease. And so the other day, in the Ice Age, our street was completely, you could skate on it, and this poor woman was trying to get across. And this daughter of hers was trying to help her, and they were the only two around. Now, on any given day, I would help them regardless. But this day, as I helped them, there was something deeper about it because I knew them now. I knew them by name. I knew a little bit of their story, and they knew a little bit of mine. And as the daughter bounced up the stairs after we got across the street, she said, "Hey, remember that night when Miss Lee had all of us over for dinner and games? We need to do that again." She said, "That was fun." And I agreed. People want more. Now, I've learned something in the West Coast since I've lived on this part, in this part of the world. And that is that I feel like, or I've learned that there, that a lot of people have a certain posture about them in regards to community. So here's what I sense from people. I sense that people really want community, and they really want to invite it, and there's something deep within them that misses that. But then I sense this. They're not quite sure how to let you in. They're not quite sure how much community they really want. So they're like this, and at the same time, they're like this. With each step that you take in your lives, in your neighborhood, in everything that you engage in, with each step you can break down those barriers to where you're inviting people in and they're coming in and they gradually go like this. But not only they, but you too. You too will gradually receive, and welcome. The word hospitality is rooted in the same word as hospital. It means healing. Open your door and invite. That is actually all God is really asking of us when we speak of hospitality. God will do the rest. In closing, I just want to share about this fantastic book I'm reading. It's by Will Ferguson. You may have read it. It's called Beauty Tips from Moose Jaw. I love it. And the book is written as a tribute to what they say, not me, but what they say is the quirky and fascinating Canada. He and his brother are struggling to write a chapter one night, and they can't get anything out on paper. And they're supposed to write all about Canada and about how the history is and how it goes and blah, 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 right? And they can't get anything out on paper. And so what they realize is they actually just need to get in the car and take a road trip. And they need to drive across Canada. And they actually need to go into people's homes and engage in conversation and see what their daily lives are like and learn about them and meet them and share bread with them and meals. And so they did it. And on their adventures, they learned that Canada was basically a canoe route. Did you know that? It's based on this history that they dug up. Canada has three major draining systems, from the Hudson Bay to the Great Lakes to the Mackenzie Delta, and they radiate water routes, virtually all of them navigable. It's an incredible system of rivers. And even now, if the mood strikes you, you can take a canoe from Montreal to the Rockies or up to the Arctic Ocean. Did you know that? You get the feeling, says this canoeist and filmmaker Bill Mason, that God designed the canoe first, and then set out about creating a country in which it would flourish. I love that image. It reminds me of hospitality and God's creation for it. He created you and me and all of those in his image first. And then he gave us this amazing gift of hospitality that we might flourish. When you accept God into your life, you're inviting a whole lot more than God. You're inviting all of his friends with him. Many of them have never sat at a seat of honor, nor do they seek it. Many of them could never repay you, nor should you expect it. That's the nature of our hospitable God, who came to give us a life in Christ, knowing that we could never repay him. So when we come to the communion table today and receive the body and the blood of Christ in the bread and in the wine, we'll come down this aisle and we'll stand on this floor. And it won't matter if you're a millionaire or if you're a peasant. It won't matter if you're a school teacher or a doctor. It won't matter if you own a home or if you're homeless. You will come all on the same level as the one in front of you and the one behind you. It's level ground, and it reminds us that we're all invited, and God is not ranking us. He's only inviting us. We all come, and often we seek to sit at the lower feet of Jesus. And every time, to our surprise, Jesus says, no, come and sit right by me. He shows us in his word, and we practice it every Sunday here. We eat together. We share a meal with Jesus, and we share a meal with all of Jesus' friends. All throughout the pages of the gospel, you'll find breadcrumbs. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts to be the hospitality of Christ, to all those who come through our doors. Open our hearts to embrace the stranger, the friend, the rich, the poor. Open our lives to offer generous hearts towards all. Amen.